Football is back, kind of. It's training camp week here in Chicago. You're listening to the Chicago Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane, and the Bears head down to Bourbonnais this week on Wednesday. We're getting you set for it's about 2.5 weeks there in training camp, and then the preseason is underway. There's a bunch of teams already there. It's football. Feel the excitement. We're here. We finally made it through summer vacation. We're going to actually have some football to talk about. This week's guest is the perfect person to get you ready for Bears training camp. It is Dan Pompey. When you think of Bears and, you know, writing, you think of Pompey, who you can hear on The Score. Obviously, used to write for the Chicago Tribune. You can now read his stuff at Bleacher Report. Really good interview, just breaking down the ins and outs of this team and talking about what to take away from training camp of sorts. Let's give you, of course, our particulars. This is the Chicago Football Podcast. Go check it out on iTunes. Give us a rating, only 5-star ratings and a review. You can follow all of our work on Twitter at Bears_Insider. I am at K Fishbane. I got John Solly here running the dials solo for the second week in a row.
They let me back.
They let you back. I let you back. And you can follow him at J Solly. Dan Mott will be back next week. And yeah, we're recording this on Monday. So unfortunately, no Bachelorette update on this show.
Womp womp.
Just football. Just Bears. No cutting up of any jerseys here.
Which I guess that's what you came here for, football?
Yeah.
I guess.
By the way, before we get to the main points of training camp stuff, how happy are the Bears that Chris Sale cut up his uniform this week? The Cubs are playing the Sox this week. Aroldis Chapman is coming to the north side.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade gets introduced on Friday, which means no one's going to be paying much attention to the Bears at training camp on Wednesday.
Here's where you can be paying attention to the Bears, not only at PFW for all of our Bears coverage, but on Saturday, we have a special announcement here that we're going to break loose on the podcast. If you are in Bourbonnais on Saturday, we have a Snapchat filter that is going to be available for you for use.
Hey, John,
between 9 and 2.
What's a Snapchat filter?
Why, when you're using the Snapchat and you're taking your photos, you're sharing all of your content, swipe left and you will find our filter. It'll say Bourbonnais on it. You'll see the Pro Football Weekly logo on it. It's outstanding. Our graphic designer, Brent Marion, really went above and beyond. So please, if you're on Snapchat and you're in Bourbonnais, go use our filter, share it with all your friends. It's going to be awesome.
And I'll be using that Snapchat throughout training camp. So if you start following it on Wednesday, you can get snippets of Bourbonnais, players arriving, player press conferences. We'll hear from Jay Cutler on Wednesday. We'll hear from John Fox and Ryan Pace on Wednesday. First time we've gotten to talk to Ryan Pace since the draft, and we won't really hear from him again maybe till the middle of the season or even the end of the season. He only talked once briefly during the season last year. So important stuff we can talk about with them, and you can get it all, of course, profootballweekly.com/Bears, Twitter at Bears_Insider, and Snapchat Bears_Insider. Saturday, swipe left, get our filter. It's the opposite of Tinder because, you know, and you're a married man.
I'm not on Tinder.
But in Tinder, not that I've ever dabbled, but you swipe left when you say no. But in Snapchat, swipe left is good. You're trying to find your filter. You'll find our Pro Football Weekly filter on there and join in with covering Bears camp. And the Bears are only there for that one weekend because they come back the following weekend. They have Saturday practice at Soldier Field for Family Fest and Sunday's off. And then the next weekend, that's it. They're done in Bourbonnais. So they're only at training camp for one weekend. So I would highly recommend, if you're going to training camp, go on Saturday, not just because of our awesome Snapchat filter, but it's the first practice in pads. It's the only Saturday practice in Bourbonnais.
It's kids' day. Bring your kids.
It's kids' day.
Put them on Snapchat.
You know, so I'll be there probably in my Northwestern hat. It's usually what I wear.
Okay.
Shocking.
That's your
outfit. There is a fan who has given me a go Cats as I walk onto the field. I appreciate that. I probably will be wearing that. I'm trying to look for just an ambiguous hat of sorts to wear that just maybe has nothing on it.
That's boring. You gotta give a little stuff.
But I don't want to interview. For example, I was interviewing Jarrell Freeman in OTAs, and he immediately looked and goes, "Oh, Northwestern, the Union thing, right?"
Which is
interesting. You know, that's an interesting word association there. But
yeah.
you know, we got focus. We got to focus on the Bears.
All right.
We don't need to focus on Northwestern. So one thing you can see on our Snapchat today, we'll get to our interview with Dan Pompey in a moment, which is Monday when we're recording this, is we introduced, of course, the number one man on Bear Necessities, Jay Cutler, most important Bear in 2016. Now, of course, if Brian Hoyer was the starting quarterback, he would be the most important Bear. I mean, it's the quarterback on every team, and it's Jay Cutler every year with this team. So it's John finding the new narrative of sorts, trying to figure out what it is for Jay this year. There are a lot of things that remain with him, but I think when you look back at what he did last year, I think this year's narrative is, okay, well, what's next?
Can exactly.
Because I think there were a lot of people that were like, Jay is Jay. He is who he is. He's not going to be the guy who gets you to the playoffs. And last year, he didn't get into the playoffs. He didn't get them anywhere close. But he showed you things that he hadn't showed you in his career, which tells you he can still adapt and get better. And now, can he do it again? If he can get better this year with his full complement of receivers, you know, then you start talking about a team that also has a better defense to make things easier for him, that can maybe start talking about the playoffs.
I think one of the interesting things to find out early on is to get the pulse on what the team expects of Jay Cutler and what fans expect of Jay Cutler, too, because there's obviously going to be the reaction to whatever he does. But the expectations, I think, are much different than in years past for Jay.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of people that are bored of Jay and
true.
Just know who he is and don't expect big things from him necessarily. So you're always going to have that with him. Here's an amazing thing, John. He's the second oldest player on the Bears. He's the second longest tenured Bear.
Wow.
And nobody on the offensive side of the ball is even 30 except for Eddie Royal and Zach Miller. And
that's
he's 2 years older than Miller and 3 years older than Royal.
He is the old man.
He is the old man on this offense and on this team. So just another dynamic to Jay Cutler. But go check it out, profootballweekly.com/Bears. We have the full Bear Necessities breakdown. You can see all the rankings 20 through 1 now that Jay Cutler is in there at the top of the Bear Necessities rankings. All right, we are now going to play you our interview with the Dan Pompey previewing 2016 Bears training camp. Well, I figured the best way to get Bears fans ready for training camp this week was to talk to Dan Pompey, who's covered the NFL for 3 decades. Dan, do you know what number training camp this is for you? And you'll be, I'm sure, heading to Bourbonnais a couple times this next couple weeks.
I can't count that high, Kevin. you'll have to help me. I lose track after 150 or something like that.
You know, we should have...
It's been a lot, though. It's been a lot.
You know, I've always said this. If we can get you, Moon, Mullen, and Hub, you know, at Brickstone Brewery for a night, just swapping memories of training camps, I would personally pay to watch it. Now, I probably would expense it, but I think other people would enjoy hearing some of those memories. But Dan Pompey, follow him on Twitter, at Dan Pompey, writes for Bleacher Report. Of course, you hear him on WSCR, The Score. You can also check out his work at danpompey.net. And Dan, first off, just kind of covering camp in general, I imagine that Ditka didn't let you guys tweet at practice either, so maybe it's not so different the way John Fox runs things. But it is interesting because I do love in training camp being able to get a player one-on-one after lunch and being able to sit down and have a good chat with him, because you don't get those opportunities in the regular season. So I still think it's a great opportunity for the reporters and by proxy the readers who get to learn a little bit more about these guys. But it's still drastically different, I'm sure, from when you first started covering camps. You know, how have you seen that evolution? How have you kind of as a reporter evolved to, you know, adhere to some of the new guidelines?
Yeah, I think, a couple of things stand out. First of all, there was a lot less media back then and a lot more access. I think one of the times that I liked the best about training camp back in the day was the time before practice, when players and coaches would come out on the field and stretch and kind of prepare for practice and do whatever they needed to do on their own. And you could go out there on the field and just talk to anybody. And it was a good time to just kind of interface with people. You could, during their lunch period, you could go and sit with somebody and just, you know, have a chair and start talking, start a conversation while they ate. You often saw them after practice out at the bars in Plattsville or at the restaurants. So it was a really good period back in the old days for getting to know people and establishing relationships. And I think that's the thing that really has changed the most about the NFL in the time that I've been covering it, is now it's really difficult to establish those relationships and to really get to know people and earn trust. And part of that is because of the size of the media, and part of that is because of the way that, access has been diminished. And I guess they kind of go hand in hand, because you can't have all the access you had before with all the media that you have now.
Right, right. And thinking back, a bit of a fun question here about bourbon. I think I might have talked to Moon about this a few weeks ago, too. Do you have a favorite training camp star, like the guy that everyone falls in love with in Plattville or Bourbonnais, and he might not even make the team, or if he does, you know, the Dane Sonsenbachers of the world? Do you have one that always kind of stands out in your memory?
You know, to be honest with you, I can't think of one off the top of my head. You know, I
Sonsenbacher was a good one, though. I mean, that summer
was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, it's often a guy like Sonsenbacher, though. You know, a little wide receiver who, you know, will eventually wear down if you give him too much time and too many reps and he takes too many hits. I'll say another guy a little bit like him was Lou Barnes, I remember, who was primarily a return man but also a small receiver. And I remember he had a hell of a camp 1 year and then just kind of faded away into oblivion.
I'm expecting, with the short wide receiver infatuation, that fans are going to love Daniel Braverman, of course, a seventh round pick, but also this kid Kieran Duncan, who's the undrafted rookie, just because he's got that blazing speed that when you're at camp and you're just in the stands, especially before they put the pads on those first two practices, you're going to notice the guys that are really fast from the get-go. And then, of course, when you get to the preseason games and even when you get the pads on, that kind of starts to separate where these guys are at, certainly. And I think Leonard Floyd's an interesting case there, Dan, where there's going to be times that he just jumps out at people, pads on or pads off, and he's going to wow everyone. And I think Vic Fangio said this too. There's going to be times that, you know, that Floyd struggles against some of the bigger, stronger, better offensive tackles. You know, what are you, as an observer, you know, what, I guess, would you want to see from Floyd when he has his first kind of real training camp practices in the next couple of weeks?
I want to see if he can take on an offensive tackle and shed a block. Because if he can't do those two things, first of all, he's not going to be able to play the run. And a smart offensive coordinator is going to run it at him frequently during a game. And the other thing, you know, if he can't do that, he's going to have a hard time freeing himself up to rush the passer, too. You know, he's a really interesting guy, Kevin, as you know, because there really isn't anyone like him who's built like him in the NFL who's a successful player. So he's an outlier. I mean, either he's going to change his body over time and kind of pack on more muscle, which, you know, remains to be seen if he can do it or not, or the other thing is he's going to do it in a way that no one has ever done it before. So, you know, he was somewhat of a risky pick, in my opinion, as high as the Bears chose him. Given the fact that he is so different from anyone else in the league who is a really good football player.
Sticking on the defense, I think one area of the defense I'm looking forward to watching, because I think people almost forget about it, is the secondary. Because that's a position, first of all, cornerback, I think it's the position they did the least with this offseason. All they did was re-sign Tracy Porter. You know, they drafted DeAndre Hall, but, it, you know, Bryce Callahan seems set right now as the nickel. And then you got Kyle Fuller there. And then safety, once again, Dan, I think as many training camps as you've been to, there have probably been almost just as many times you've been at camp and there's been questions about the Bears at safety. And they're really putting a lot of faith, it seems, in Adrian Amos because they didn't sign anybody outside Omar Bolden. They didn't bring in a high draft pick. You know, Deion Bush is a fourth rounder. So I guess I'll start with safety. You know, that position, which is, you can really tell some stuff when the instincts get involved, when the pads come on. How do you see that shaking out? And is it curious to you the amount of the fact that John Fox is really trying to trust these young guys to play such an important position?
Yeah, you know, I think the secondary overall is the biggest question mark on the team. And certainly the safety position is a part of it. I think, two things that can really help a safety are instincts and experience, and the Bears are light on both, as far as I could tell right now. I think training camp and preseason is going to be really important for this group, and the Bears have to hope that one of those young guys at least steps up. You know, we saw some good things from Jones Korte last year. I don't know if he can do it for a whole season. You know, it remains to be seen. Certainly, Amos was pretty steady and consistent, played a lot of football last year. What we haven't seen from him is the playmaking, and that's something that really has to happen if he's going to become an above-average starting safety. And then, you know, the cornerback position, you got to love Tracy Porter and the season that he had last year. You know, you wonder if he could hold up for the entire 16 games. And Kyle Fuller, I think, is somewhat of a question mark. As gifted as he is, did not play very consistently last year. So, you know, if you don't get 16 starts out of both of those guys, either because of injuries or performance, the question is, where does the depth come from? Who is the third safety who's not a nickel player? And, you know, that's a complete unknown at this time. So a lot of questions in the secondary for me.
Switch to the offensive side of the ball, and we'll stick with kind of question marks and concerns and things that, you know, the Bears certainly hope get answered in Bourbonnais in the next couple of weeks. What do you think, or I guess how would you rank the concerns of Zach Miller and how he can replace Martellus Bennett and the lack of depth there, Jeremy Langford in replacing Matt Forte, and I think a concern that people are also not talking about is the offensive line, where you have really, I think Kyle Long might be your only sure thing. I'm a little higher on Charles Leno. I think certainly other fans are. The Bears seem high on him. But the offensive line is another one that needs to come together in camp. Those three, I mean, would you say those are kind of the three biggest question marks, and how do you kind of sort through those?
Yeah, I would agree. And to me, the offensive line is the most important of those three, because if that unit is not functioning at a high level, nothing else really matters. So, you know, I think, you know, you've got some pieces in place there, Leno, Long, and Bobby Massey, that should be at least pretty consistent. You know what you have. You know, they've played. The two bigger concerns, I think, are the center position and the other guard position. I'm assuming it's going to be Cody Whitehair, but that remains to be seen, too. And then the other factor is how quickly can these five men come together and play like a unit and eliminate the mental mistakes. I mean, continuity is a big factor in offensive line play. And this group really, you know, has no idea of how to work together other than the off-season work that they've had, because I guess Hronis Grassou and Long, well, I guess they didn't play next to each other last year because Long was out of tackle. But so really, you're looking at five guys who've never played next to each other before. That I believe that's right. Yeah. So, I think that's a big deal. And then, you know, the tight end position, you've got Zach Miller, who was outstanding last year. But again, he's a little like Tracy Porter in that you wonder about the durability given his history. You know, if he could stay healthy, that's going to be great. And then, you know, Langford certainly looked really good in a number two role last year, but now he's got a different role to fill, and we'll have to wait and see how he adjusts to a bigger load and, you know, playing more snaps and more games and doing more things in the offense, too, where I think, you know, the team is going to need him to run more types of plays from the backfield and catch more types of passes and do a lot of different things in terms of being a versatile back the way that Matt Forte was.
Dan Pompey joining us right here on the Chicago Football Podcast. And a few more questions, Dan. I hate to put you on the spot here, but I will, because you can handle it. You've been doing this long enough. Is there a player, is it a rookie or kind of a fringe veteran? You know, I'm always looking for those intriguing guys to watch in camp that others maybe, you know, not your clear-cut starters. Is there that guy that you're really interested to see how he handles camp and maybe if it's someone that's, you know, just trying to make the roster at this point?
You know, off the top of my head, Kevin, I'll give you one that I kind of expected to do more last year, but didn't, and that's Kerry Lee. I think that guy's got some potential. You know, there's a reason that Ryan Pace gave up a draft pick for him in a trade last year. I know they have some high hopes for him. He's a little different type of player than Zach Miller. I think he's a better blocker. He's probably not as dynamic an athlete, but you know, maybe a little bit more like Martellus Bennett than Miller is, and a guy who I think clearly there could be a role for if he steps up and continues to develop.
Yeah, that's a great call, Dan, because you know, we just talked about the tight end position, and when, you know, it's another year where there's not a clear guy who's going to be the number two, but I think people, you know, Kerry Lee was out there 20-25% of the time last year, and certainly a lot of more time when Martellus Bennett went down, so he has experience over certainly some of the other guys that are on that roster. Going away from training camp for a second, because I knew I'd forget, and I almost did, I did want to ask you about Charles Tillman. You did tweet out last week some of your thoughts kind of reflecting on Tillman's career. It's one of those that, you know, those of us who got to watch him play, I think I'm glad that I certainly appreciated the way he played the position so differently and so physical than some of the other guys. You pointed out coming out of college that, you know, there were a lot of question marks about his ability to be a very good corner. But when you look at his career as a whole and you compare him to Bears' great corners and great corners in NFL history, too, how does he kind of stack up when you look back at what Charles Tillman accomplished?
Yeah, I figure, to me, he's as good as any Bears cornerback in the modern era. Now, part of that is because they haven't had some really great cornerbacks, but he's, you know, hey, the guy has been was a really good player for a lot of years. He was a consistent player. He was a perfect fit for the defense that the Bears played during most of his tenure under Lovie Smith. Big physical corner who could match up with some of the big physical wide receivers of this era, and also a guy who had good zone instincts, was an outstanding tackler. You know, he always had a way of finding the football. He knew how to avoid blocks, and he seemed to get his guy on the ground all the time. And, of course, you know, he was one of the very best at getting the ball out of opponents' hands that anyone has ever seen. So he brought a lot to the table and really you know, was a fine player for the Bears for a lot of years. You know, people want to sometimes say, you know, was he one of the best corners in the league? Well, he, you know, he wasn't far from it. I mean, he played in his era with some really good corners like Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson and Darrell Revis. I mean, they were kind of contemporaries of his. And I would say Tillman probably was a notch below those guys, but you know, he probably was there with Rondé Barber, who was a guy who, you know, played in, I think, 5 Pro Bowls and came up with a lot of takeaways and was a good performer on a Super Bowl team in Tampa. So Tillman had a lot to be proud about.
Yeah, and you know, it's always just been obviously unfortunate the injuries he's had in his last few years, but he certainly put together a string of very, very good NFL seasons. Want to ask you about John Fox, Dan, because I think a very common narrative you're going to hear about, you're going to read about, you're going to see is year two under John Fox. We know what he did in Carolina. I think the Denver one is a little interesting because you have to factor in he went from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning in year two in Denver. But there's something to be said about a guy having his system, having his players, his coaches for a second season. And your experience from what you know about John Fox and covering him, but also covering other NFL coaches throughout your career, what is it that can allow a coach to make that kind of second-year jump with his team, to get his team to the next level in year two in his system?
Well, I mean, typically you're going from introducing everything to fine-tuning everything. So that's the big difference, I think, with any coach in year two. And Fox certainly has proven systems. There's a little bit of a wrench in it, though, in that you're changing offensive coordinators. Obviously, Dow Logans was here last year, so it's not like they're starting from scratch there, but it is a difference, and a difference that I think should be noted. But I think I really think, you know, you can't judge what to expect from Fox and the Bears based on what Fox and the Panthers did in year two or what Fox and the Broncos did in year two, because they were completely different circumstances with different teams. And I think you have to look at the individual circumstances that each system presented itself with when he was in those systems. And right now, I think, you know, he's got a lot of challenges with this team. There's a lot of question marks, as we have been discussing. And, you know, the fact that it's year two of the system only is going to go so far.
Yeah, and I gotta be honest with you, Dan. That's exactly right, and it sounded almost like something John Fox would say when somebody asked him about what happened to Carolina. So you've been listening to John Fox a little bit lately.
Well, I happen to agree with him. Yeah. I really think that, you know, that narrative to me is a little bit overblown, because, like I said, every situation is different, I kind of go back to the old saying, it's more about the Jimmies and the Joes than the X's and the O's, because if you don't have players making plays or capable of making plays, you know, the system or the experience in the system only take you so far.
Right, absolutely. All right, I'm going to go kind of off the board here, Dan, and not that I want to belabor this, but I had it on my list because it's kind of top of my mind. I needed to ask you, in your history covering the NFL, is Deflategate the dumbest controversy or scandal that you've ever covered, or you've actually had to listen to it and read about it?
Yeah, it just bores me to tears, Kevin, I gotta tell you.
Well, we don't even talk about it. We can cut it off right there.
Yeah, let's cut it off, because you know what, there's been so much said and written about it that really, you know, for a thing that really isn't very important or interesting or significant. You know, is anyone going to tell me that if Tom Brady didn't have the ball deflated to his liking, he still wouldn't be a Hall of Fame quarterback, or he wouldn't be one of the best quarterbacks ever? I mean, it's just, the whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, and luckily we didn't have to spend the entire summer hearing about it. It was just kind of the last week of it. And I will wrap up with one more Bears question, and I kind of be – I have to ask you about Alshon Jeffrey, contractually obligated to do that if it's a Bears podcast before training camp. I don't think any of us are surprised that he's playing on the franchise tag. And I think he's going to be maybe one of the more interesting guys just to watch, not just in camp, but the whole season, and see what kind of year he can put together. Because, Dan, there's part of me that saw what he did in 2013, 2014, and when he was healthy in 2015, it was like, wow, if he can get 15, 16 games in with what we think Kevin White can do, what they think Kevin White can do, I mean, the Bears are set with two, you know, one of the better receiving tandems in the league. But it, as we all know, it's not that simple. You know, how do you see this Alshon thing shaping out? And what did you maybe think of the negotiations or lack thereof that kind of led to him playing out this year on the tag?
Well, I think I agree with you that if Alshon can stay healthy, I think he should have a very good year. You know, he's kind of entering, I think, a sweet spot of his career where he's kind of figured things out now, and he's got some experience, and he's got some chemistry with his quarterback after having worked with him for a while. And, you know, he's been in the system now 2 years. So I think the potential is great for him. You know, the only question is, will he stay on the field? Will he stay healthy? And he obviously thought that his best chance of doing that was to stay away from the team for the bulk of the off season and do things his own way. So we'll see how it plays out. In terms of the contract, really not surprised. I think the franchise tag was probably a good solution for both sides. I don't know that the Bears were completely ready to commit to Jeffrey in a manner in which he thought he should be committed to. Obviously, they still have some questions about him. They want to see him do it for 16 games, and I think Jeffrey believes that he can be a receiver who is one of the best in the league if he does stay healthy. So, you know, it's all about how much time he spends on the field and in the training room, and I think that will determine what he'll be paid in the future and where his future will be.
And actually, maybe lucky, not that Alshon cares how many people are talking about him or writing about him, but everyone's going to be watching Kevin White in Bourbon A. I mean, he's going to be number one in terms of everyone wants to see what he can do. So Alshon will be kind of out of the spotlight a little bit, at least early on this summer. Dan Pompey heading to Bourbon A this week. Dan, I'm going to call it, I'll call it your 30th training camp because you do, your Twitter handle says you've been covering the NFL for 3 decades. So I'll go low and I'll say 30. You think that's fair?
That's fair. It makes me sound younger, too, which I like.
There you go. 30th training camp. You can check out his work, of course, at Bleacher Report, danpompey.net. Of course, one of the best, absolute best in the business at covering the NFL and the Bears. And, of course, you can hear him on the radio, WSCR, The Score. Dan, it was a pleasure, as always. Thanks for your Bears insight, and we will catch up down in Bourbon A.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Big thank you again to Dan Pompey. Go check out his work. My favorite thing, John, about Dan Pompey is after a Bears game, he'll give you his 10 thoughts after the game. It'll just rattle it off on Twitter back to back to back to back. It's so good. Are you Snapchatting me right now? Is this a Snapchat video?
I was Snapchatting you right now.
You were Snapchatting me, so.
I was.
You were. Okay. That probably, well, our Snapchat fans will see it. You guys can get inside the studio. I even brought Snapchat followers inside the 670 studio last week.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much for doing that.
When I was there with Lawrence Holmes, so that was fun. So thanks to Dan Pompey and John. It's that time. We got to talk Loot Crate. LootCrate.com, our sponsor. If you go to LootCrate.com/Shaw, use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. What is Loot Crate? Pray tell. It is a monthly box service. You get collectibles, apparel, and more from some of your favorite pop culture shows, comic books, what have you. We got a new crate this month, John, starting Tuesday, July 26th.
Can't wait.
It's Anti-Hero, DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, Kill Bill. You're going to get two great collectibles, a t-shirt, and of course, a pin in everything. And John, it's my favorite crate, and you know why.
Archer.
Archer is the greatest show on television. Next to You're the Worst, because Desmond Borges is
friend of the podcast. Program.
But they're on the same network, so it's okay. Archer is so good, and I'd be curious. Maybe it's a t-shirt of Lana and Archer yelling at each other.
Lana!
So you got to want to get this month's Loot Crate just to see what the Archer item is. And that would just be one item of the Loot Crate, and you can get $3 off it if it's your first crate by using our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, at lootcrate.com/Shaw. So go check that out. And speaking of guys for everyone to watch at training camp, because you know, I talked about this with Dan Pompey a little bit, that unknown player. We actually have a list, 5 players that you might not know about that you should keep an eye on at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Not in the 5 is friend of the program, Ben Browniker, tight end out of Harvard. I think people know enough about him that he's kind of the undrafted rookie everyone's going to be monitoring. 3 other rookies in that undrafted list. Kieran Duncan is the 4.25 40 guy out of Colorado State Pueblo. He's got long hair, super fast.
Can't miss him.
Can't miss him. You'll see him out there. He'll be involved in the return competition. I'm sure he'll wow some people with that speed. John Kling, 6'7", 320 pounds. Kling Kong, undrafted rookie out of Buffalo, plays offensive tackle. So you'll notice him because he's huge and because the Bears have some question marks at tackle. Nate Chandler retired. Who are they going to go to at the backup tackle spot? One more for you, edge rusher Roy Robertson-Harris out of UTEP, 6'7", another big guy. Looking for guys that's easy to spot.
Ryan Pace helped us out with that.
Easy players to spot. A guy that if he can get after the quarterback with that length, you'll notice him. Two veterans. We've talked about Paul Lesyke on the show, the fullback, the former rugby player. I think he might be a little more involved in the offense in camp. And then Marquise Jackson, Malik's twin brother, defensive end.
I'm interested.
They could, he'll be competing with Ego Ferguson, Will Sutton, Cornelius Washington amongst, the backup defensive ends. Bloodlines are great. They're there. That's for sure. He's not Malik, but,
maybe
cut from the same cloth a little bit. So we'll see if he, if he can be kind of a veteran that surprises people. So go check that story out. We have a lot more stuff for you on the website. So we have the bare necessities, which are done, as we talked about, Jay Cutler, number one. And you can see 20 through one on our website. I think it's a good way to get ready for camp. Also, previews by position. Special teams came out on Monday. So, you can go look at and get ready for each position preview. John, if you had to pick one position, you'll be watching.
Safety. There it is. I think it's safety. It's forever the question.
The ultimate tradition of Bears training camp, safety. So keep an eye out for those. And then, as I mentioned, Wednesday, I will be in Bourbonnais. I'll be in Bourbonnais the whole training camp, Hub Arkish as well. Arthur Arkish will be there a little bit with us. And follow us on Snapchat. And so what we're going to do next week is, a podcast, and hopefully, based on some help from Bears PR, and players. We'll get you a couple player interviews next week, and we'll recap the first week of Bears training camp. So that'll do it for this week's episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes. Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating and leave a very friendly review. Why don't you? Big thank you to Dan Pompey, our guest, getting us ready for Bears training camp, where we will be for the next few weeks. But we will still have podcasts for you every week from now through the 2016 season. It is underway, John. We are ready to go. That guy, John Solly, was my producer today. Give him a follow on Twitter at JSolly. I am Kevin Fishbane. For all of us here at Pro Football Weekly and Shaw Media, thanks for listening to Chicago Football Podcast. More Bears talk, actual practices we can recap next week.